Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. You are tuned in to Blog Talk Radio. This is Labors for Christ, Word Life Center, Spiritual Growth and Development. Our physical campus is closed because it's cold out there, but we pray that you are in the comfort of your homes, your residence. You have your tea, your coffee, because this is Table Talk. Table Talk about Kingdom Culture. We've been meeting on Wednesdays, addressing issues that we meet every day in our lives and lining them up with kingdom directives. As the song shared with us, put the attention on Jesus. Take it off of ourselves and our preferences and our traditions and those things that legally we've been told is okay to do. And let's see what the Word of God says and how we can incorporate that in our daily life with joy and a confidence that God is pleased and will bless that which we do through obedience to Him in the power of His Holy Spirit. So we are very excited about the future and the hope that we have in this 2019 year in the directions that the Lord is taking us, lifting us, bringing us to new vistas so we have a better view of God's directives and His plans and His path and His purpose for His church and how we will accomplish the will of God, God's way, and not our own, and not have it dictated to us by the social norms and the trends that come and go, but rather we'll have a confidence to know that we are working and living and thinking and responding in obedience to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. We thank you all for coming out on our new time on fourth Sunday at Bethany Union Church down in the main sanctuary. It was a glorious worship explosion. It was marvelous. And we look forward to it again in February, the fourth Sunday. Fourth Sundays will be 4 o'clock Sunday. And so we do want you to make a note of that, as well as every fifth Sunday, the young people will also have their services at 4 o'clock, giving us something different to do and a different way of outlook for this year, planning our lives around that which God would have us to do. Going in a new place that sometimes is unfamiliar and it's not our comfort zone, but we thank God that it is per His will and His plan for us. And we'd also like to invite you on Friday. Actually on Thursday, February 14th, we're having our First Love Banquet. Don't miss it. But more importantly, please, please invite those that you know to this evangelical gathering of saints so that we can turn the attention on Jesus, back to Jesus, our first love, who has sacrificed so much for us. Let us celebrate Him with Him at Bethany Union Church again, and it's at 7 o'clock on Thursday, February 14th. We have so much going on, praise the Lord, because the laborers are few, but the vineyard is ready, the need of us. And so we will be gathering for that on the 14th. This Sunday we will worship at 10:30, the old time, the regular time at Bethany Union Church in the upper level at Suite 6. So we thank you for giving ear to these announcements. We also have a gathering on March 2nd, a prayer strategy gathering for the AEN, Sister Network of Laborers for Christ Ministry, and you are all invited to please come out and let us get the prayer strategy and vision for 2019. We also want to make sure you're aware of this Saturday, at 10 o'clock. There will also be a meeting at Labors for Christ Word Life Center, lower level. That's this Saturday, February 2nd. Can you believe February is here already? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we will be meeting at 10 o'clock, lower level, Bethany Union Church, for the actual first meeting for AEN. And everyone is invited to come to join us and be a part of the gathering, the preparation for this year's spiritual walk. So we pray that as we gather here to go forth in the ministry of spiritual growth and development, Prophet Mike, do we have you on the line? Well, we will start our evening off with prayer by our own apostle, Dr. Shauna Clark.
Father, we do. We bless you and we honor you. We thank you, Lord God, for such an eternal and everlasting and satisfying love. Thank you, Lord God, that you love us and love us completely. And your love heals us and makes us whole. Father, we thank you for this gathering of individuals as we are just preparing to understand your kingdom agenda and principles and mandates as we prepare to be kingdom builders. Father, we are moving forward, and as we share today's topic about relationships and dating, we pray, Father God, that we would share your heart with your people. Lord, give us the wisdom, the insight, give us the ear to hear that which the Spirit of the Lord would say unto us. And we thank you for it. Thank you for those who have tuned in to be a part of this fellowship, of this learning hour. And Father, as we learn and as we grow, may what we learn change our lives, that we live more excellent for you, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so
who do we have on the line this evening? This is interactive. So what are your questions? What is your thought? What do you think dating for the Christians should look like? Hello.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Yes. Thank you so kindly for asking. And how are you?
I am marvelously blessed. Yes.
Good. Good. Well, in a class that I had an opportunity to teach with sexual relation healing retreat, we're finding out that biblically there's no such thing as dating. That when a man findeth a wife, and that the men should actually be looking for the woman that God has chosen for them to marry and not actually date women. But, you know, because of time and because of culture, I'll put it like that, we've found ourselves in this dating arena, even in the household of faith. But in actuality, biblically, when a woman was ready to marry, even if you look at Old Testament scripture, when God got ready for them to marry, or when the parents got ready for their children to marry, they would go and seek out a wife for their children, not dating. And so, yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Biblically, there is no dating. Biblically, there is a man praying for God to say who his wife should be, and they marry. They look to marry. even courtship, well, not, I don't want to say courtship, even in that time frame between them being espoused, that's the word I want to use, they weren't even, you know, allowed to be together. It was just certain things that weren't customary. But, again, our culture has deemed that to be a change. And so as we look at that, making sure that we try to be as biblically astute or as close to biblical reference as we possibly can. Thank you.
Amen.
All right, thank you, Apostle. Definitely appreciate that, the spiritual insight for kingdom relationships, So as we begin to explore this concept, if you will, of dating it and what that looks like, I believe it is important that we start off with what God's plan, what was his plan for man and for woman, what was his agenda, and how that has shifted or changed, and why it has shifted and changed, why we bought into it, probably more importantly, why we bought into it. And I believe on last week when we were talking, actually the last few weeks, I think part of the conclusion of the matter is just that we have yielded over to our preference. We've given in to the desire of our flesh. And while the scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we have instead become conformed. And we have allowed things around us to be transformed, but only through our conformity. And so while I believe that there is a more excellent way that people are even looking for and searching and desiring to embrace, we have transformed a culture or we've transformed generations because we've conformed to what it is our natural man or our flesh man has desired over what the Spirit of the Lord has desired. So, one of the things we want to look at is, you know, why do we date? What are we looking for in dating? Are we dating to find a mate? Are we dating for companionship? Are we dating out of boredom? Are we dating? Why are we dating? So that we can understand or begin to look at what the scripture says about it, so that whatever that need is can then be met through scripture, so that relationally we can begin to see a turnaround a turning back to the things of God.
Amen. And as you were speaking, Apostle, and we do know, and even Apostle KP had mentioned the fact that, you know, biblically speaking, that was a different kind of culture as well. And I believe that part of the thing that makes us feel comfortable that we're okay if we date is because we'll say, well, you know, that was way back then and we don't do it that way now. However, I think that, you know, there is a way that we can do it, first of all, as parents, with our children, those things that we will allow them to do and not allow them to do, and then those things that we expose them to and giving them the understanding of, because I think culturally speaking, the reason they were able to go and pick a husband or pick a wife for their son was because the sons understood that the parents had that. And so if we impart into our children the confidence that the way we raise them and the things that we share with them, like saving yourself for the Lord and a man finding a woman find us a good thing, and all of those scriptures that relate to the marriage part of the relationship, then they would honor, first of all, marriage better, and they would also understand they're growing so that they can be proper Christian mates. And so I think that one of the elements that were involved in the other cultures were the fact that there were always gatherings. And so that gathering was able to meet some of the social needs that the individuals had. A lot of it, too, was work. They worked a lot, even as teenagers. And we do know they got married at a much younger age. And, you know, but even I think as a church, if we have the element in place that would give them that type of fellowship, that type of socialization in groups, then that need so much for dating, you know, won't be as prevalent. And I remember with my girls, all three, you know, house full of girls, and there were strict rules, and really dating wasn't necessarily, you know, forbidden, but when they went out, they had to go out in a group. And so they, you know, if you go, you take your sister. You know, so that always made a date, you know, troubled. And yes, Apostle?
I was just reflecting over that because I could be wrong. I don't recall having permission to date.
Exactly. That's what I said. You really weren't. But I don't flat out say you can't date.
I just said
no.
I said I'm going with him.
And that's right. You go, Mama, I'm going with so-and-so. Going where? You know. I remember one particular time, a couple of times, that they were allowed to go, but they had to take their sister with them. And I recall once an individual came over, and I took his driver's license, I took the license of the car, and when I got through, he didn't want to go anywhere. You know, it's like, you know, and so it's okay because you don't value, you know, the individual enough for that kind of scrutiny, then the person's interest is not the best thing that you have in your heart. And so I don't have permission to use Pastor Marlette, but I will say that part of their environment for growing up was to have an open door policy. Sure, your friends can come over. Yes, that was encouraged. You know, and so sometimes And I was blessed to be able to be a stay-at-home mom, you know, because my husband worked, and, you know, but anyway. But so often it's because we don't have time now. Everything is rush, rush, do this, and we're seeking, and I'm not saying we're materialistic, but we're more concerned with those materialistic parts of our children's lives and our lives, for that matter, that we work and, you know, we strive. And I'm not saying mothers need to stay home and raise their children. No, because I know that it's not always possible. However, I think that it is a part of so as a result, our young people are trying to fill that missing link in their own way, according to then you go, what is the world doing? Let's do what the world does. And so in this day and age where we have generations in households now, grandmothers raising their grandchildren and their children are, you know, a part of the equation. However, I think that because we have chosen as a people that it's more important to really, and I'll just say it, please our children, that we've allowed them to do some things that was detrimental to their health. We didn't want to say no. We didn't want to lose that friend relationship that we had with our kids. When we were growing up, your mama wasn't your friend. I mean, have gone, that's been less and less and less till now sometimes and oftentimes parents are, you know, partying with their kids. But, you know, which that would, I guess, keep you from dating if you got your mama with you. However,
your mama's people,
I think that, you know, one of the things, as you all were talking and speaking, the thing came to my mind is definitely that we have conformed to society and to the ways of the world, you know, being raised up where teen pregnancy was at an all-time high at one point in time, you know, trying to wrap around or gather the mindset of how do we lower that. And so we begin to conform to some things. We begin to tell them, if you are, then birth control, which is something we talked about on last week and got an understanding of that those things are also, for lack of a better word, an abortion-type mentality, or you're stopping what God has ordained to be so, as opposed to going back to the basis of teaching abstinence, you know. And so in what you said, Overseer, the importance of parents and churches going back to teaching young girls about preserving themselves, and the importance that virginity is likened into a jewel, a precious jewel, you know, and getting them to understand how important it is and how it's so precious. You don't give it to anybody or anything. It's only saved, or it's only for your husband. And so, and then also teaching our young men the same thing. You know, one of the things that I would teach as a youth counselor at our old church would be like, you can't teach girls to be abstinent and tell boys to sow wild oats, because they're sowing wild oats with somebody's daughter. And so, you know, you're not, yeah. So you have to teach abstinence from both ends, that boys have to abstain, and then teaching them that biblically there is a way to be holy, to live a life, to learn how to put your flesh under subjection. So these are things that I think that we have to implement in our teaching for our young people, is to go back to that, because, again, that can fuck you. Even when we're teaching it at the church, they go to school and they got sex education, who's teaching them a whole nother level, and then they've even brought in the perversion for, you know, if you like a girl, it's okay, if you like a boy. So, it's, you know, so again, that conformity has broadened, for lack of a better word, it's broadened, and so getting a corralling it, really, really getting to a ground level of teaching it and implementing it to our young people at a young age, because they're teaching them that at a young age, and so really, really beginning to instill. So that's going to take on a whole nother level of Christian parenting, and then starting to implement those things. Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you were speaking, it's not only just Christian parenting, because, you know, I can say, well, I don't have any more kids. However, I think it's adult living. When they watch us, and they may not be our children, but they see that, you know, we don't do that very thing that we're telling them to do. They see us dating. You know, they see us not honoring our own bodies, or they see us allowing men to dishonor us and disrespect us. And so we, even if we're teaching it, if we're not living it, then they won't learn it. But they need to see living examples. And then they need to see those that didn't do it. We need to be transparent and repent before them, so they understand, it does happen, but it's wrong. Well, I did it, and I was wrong, and this is what I learned from that, and this is the way God showed me a more excellent way. And, you know, and I think so often, you know, when one generation is trying to teach another, you know, that generation is going, you don't understand, because they see us as old and dusty and, you know, what do we know? And so I think it takes each other, you know, the young people, you know, pulling out of element of youth that we have, those that are strong and they understand that, and encouraging them to stand up with their peers. One of the things I felt like in Kingdom Church that we could do was to, if you know that there's, you know, friendships and that sort of thing between, you know, individuals that are there, then you be the one to call them on Saturday night and tell them to come to church. You know, because we can call all day long and say, and it won't mean nothing to them. But let the kids call and tell the kids to come to church. You know, meet me there, you know. And so just getting them involved in their own healing, giving them the tools and the support to know you can start making a difference now, and we will support you in that. Because it's hard to stand alone. You know, like you say, you go to school and then everybody's doing everything and everybody, you know, and you don't really have that good core support system around you, and it's easy for you to succumb, you know, to what the bulk of people are doing, unless you're valuing something that has been presented to you and you have come to the understanding that it's possible. I think most people don't think it's possible, even adults. And how, if your mother is giving you birth control pills, she really don't expect you to not do that. You know, I remember in obviously I keep using, you know, my family, but that was a great move in those days, a birth control pill. And obviously there was, I don't think so. It's like the best thing I can do for you, and I know it was argued, my mother had and my sister had, no, you give them that because if they get pregnant, they'll ruin their life. If I don't get pregnant, then their lives will be destroyed. Because if you can get away with something, then you'll go wild with it. But if there's something to hold you back, you'll think twice. Not that they won't do it, but you'll think twice about it. So, and I used to tell them, you get pregnant, everything that you do it would have gotten, your baby going to get, and you get nothing. I don't care how old you are. Everything that would have been yours will be your child, because that, you know, they were, when they were underage. And so there are certain ways and things that will cause us to make them stop and think. And it's been so glorified, you know, to be a mother, to have a baby, to get pregnant. You know, that means you got a man and all of that sort of thing. And you know, that is the kind of thing that if that's their mentality, and understandably, because that's their parents, that's ours. So often women really don't feel, you know, enabled unless a man loves them and that sort of thing. And so as a result, this is something that's glorified, and they need to know, you know, the love of Christ can be even more than anything they can conceive. And that's just not an easy thing to teach, but I think it is a necessary thing to show. And we show it by it coming out of our life and our understanding before them, you know, with joy, not just sad, dragging, oh my goodness, you know, what kind of husbandman can God be to us if that's our mentality? Why would they even want him? You know, and so those are some of the things that in times past, they so honored God. They so feared God. They put that in their children's heart and mind. And so the children would, and there were some that rebelled. We understand that, you know, but it's like, okay, daddy went and found me a wife. Okay, it's good to go. And they went. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I do definitely think that you know, I don't want to make it seem like it's just you and I dialoguing, but definitely think, you know, that a sense of accountability is important, you know, and even as you were talking about us being an open representation of what it should look like, single women, not, you know, who have learned to live out 1 Corinthians 7 chapter where it talks about the single woman, her mindset is how she can please the Lord, you know, and then even people have used the reference in the book of Ruth when she was gleaning. She wasn't looking for Boaz. She was trying to feed, you know, her mother-in-law. And so, but it was found. But to be working, to be busy, to be doing the things of God as single women. And then we have, even as we've gotten older adults, myself, 60 years old, single woman, you know, and living a life of holiness and not trying to find somebody who gets Social Security and I get Social Security and we just shack because we don't want to merge our Social Security checks. It's just so much going on. Yes, we get older. You know, we've got older adults as well. You know, we, all of us, you know, as Christians, have to live that life out. And then like you said, to be open and transparent, you know, that we're praying, we're believing God, and we're trusting God as far as our lives are concerned to wait on God. My own testimony, just waiting on God, is that once I came into the AEN and under Dr. Apostle Shannon Halton and found out that God's desire is that if your husband is living, you're not in a position to remarry. And so I'm just like, oh, bust my bubble. You know, because my husband is still living, you know, and in prayer, you know, to maintain and to keep me at 60 years old and not have, you know, things coming through the back door that I wouldn't let come in through the front door because I didn't want people to see. Yeah, and so I'm going to be quiet now. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
I believe that it, when we talk about the issue of, not issue, but when we talk about dating, often it is a subject that finds itself, especially in the church, geared towards youth and young people, when I believe the greater issue is the older people,
mm-hmm.
you know, from whatever age to...
Whatever age.
And so beginning to look at, there is a need to address those individuals that are covenantly challenged, how they find themselves looking for, And so as a result, you know, what they find themselves doing. So we say, okay, it is not the will of God that we date. Check. So then what is the will? What should I be doing? Because I've gotten this prophetic word, or I heard this, or I know the Lord said this, or I just want it, whatever the case is, you know, that I want to get married. Okay, so then every person that comes by at the church becomes a potential candidate. We do all of it. We are unable to worship in spirit and in truth for trying to be found or to find or to kidnap, steal, rob the cradle or the grave, whichever the spectrum you're choosing. And so, beginning to look at what becomes the spiritual solution for both male and female, and how do we address it amongst leaders? You know, I'm just keeping it amongst leaders. You know, the need to not date. I don't want to call it date because I don't know that the term is date, but the need to be connected or to be assigned, acquainted, affiliated, I don't know what you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
But I believe it's something that needs to be addressed, something that needs to be addressed among leadership, clearly,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's, yes. And so, scripturally, making the assessment, what is the real need? Over here said something that was interesting. She said sometimes it happens because you don't think that you're whole. And she didn't say whole.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Okay, you need a man to validate you. Or you need a woman to validate you, or you need multiple to validate you, whatever the case is. And so what does that say about our spiritual relationship, our relationship with the Lord? When we find ourselves covenantly challenged, how is that, you know, what does our tomorrow look like in those situations? You know, when individuals who come in the church and go through the whole church under the, well, the Lord said my wife or my husband is here, and they've gone through the whole church because the Lord told everybody, you know, so where is the actual breakdown? People, that's not the issue with our youth. And that's not where they at. That's where we at.
Yes.
So I'm just beginning to look at that because I think that those are the things that cause us to be spiritually unhealthy. Because then, you know, you bring that to your ministry table.
And I think that as a church and ministry, because as you were speaking, that is the whole thing. Wilt thou be made whole? It is a sexual and relational issue, and I believe it as Apostle KP started out with, that she taught that class. So it is something that's been there. It's been put out there. It's been dealt with on many different levels, you know, what a marriage should look like, what the Bible says about our relationships with one another. And so I think it's just continuing to take that up a notch and continuing to expand it in the corners of our lives. And it will spill over, it will flow over into the areas of our young people. I believe that we don't, well, I don't want to say we don't change the world, but we change the world that God has put around us. And there are young people really that are looking to us. We have the program of accountabilities with the adults and the young people. It's in relationships like that where someone is investing in you that helps the young person feel their worth and their value and understand on a more intimate level the way God would have them understand by having that one-on-one. It's one thing when you're in church and you're sitting at a service, but it's quite another if an adult takes the time during the week to call or to reach out to you and see how you do it, letting you know you're valuable, reminding you of who you are, reminding you of how beautiful you are, how powerful you are, you know, how awesome you are. So when you have someone investing in you and imparting those biblical truths about who you are, then you're less likely to allow someone to influence you with something that's opposite of what God says. And so because of that, I think we're able to, you know, grasp those that are around us. And I know obviously there's other young people that aren't at the church, but even our nieces and nephews, our cousins and, you know, little sisters and brothers and uncles and aunts, now they're all different ages, relating even to one another. That's how it has to start filtering out and flowing down and flowing in those areas. And then us having, I know it's labors for Christ, you know, having a time on this Sunday where, you know, you come together and you can see then there are people that are relating to what you're being taught and they're valuing it, and that allows you to value it as well. I think one of the benefits that may happen if the youth go to their fifth Sunday service being at 4 o'clock, that maybe we can, you know, or a different time where they can invite other people. We used to have the young people's service used to be in the afternoon so that they can invite their other friends that went to other churches, that's what I'm trying to say, and come and worship with them, you know, because there is power in unity. And so just being able to allow the Lord to expand our understanding of and be more sensitive to what it is the young people need, as well as the older people, for that matter. So, anybody else? We have others on the line. What is your take? How do you see this? How do you see your role? How do you see the role in how you might teach or answer someone that may ask you that question? Should Christians date? So what would you say? We know you're there.
While they're gathering their thoughts, going back to, you know, what we've stated as far as that this is on all levels and all age groups that are being having these conflictions in their flesh about this, let's see, how did she put it, where they're covenantly challenged. And so, you know, when we look at that, I think that our really putting out there and really getting the mindset of God's people that you can live holy. You know, my mom's mindset when I was growing up, my auntie literally told me that, you know, you can lose your mind if you don't have a man. And I was like, what? But that was their mindset. I had got a divorce, and she was trying to encourage me to get back out there, and she felt that, you know, it was going to be some mental issues if I didn't. But we needed to begin to teach that you can live holy, that your body can be under subjection, you know, and that you can seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. I think that these are things that we have to begin to say and release in the atmosphere around our young people, because they're hearing so many, not just young people, again, on all levels, that, you know, trust God to give you what you need and to wait on the Lord and be of good courage as you are waiting. Wait on the Lord. Again, I say, wait on the Lord.
Wait on the Lord. Amen.
And what I say about it is I can remember dating and how my mom was very strict. And I remember if we were going out, we had to be home before the light came on outside. And it was a saying that it's a straight big pin to get in between you, you're too close. And, I mean, just was very strict. But when I got away, it was like, okay, you know, I didn't do anything that she taught me, you know. But I think we all need to be courageous, persistent, and have hopeful friends and counselors, accountability partners in the dangers and murky water of dating. And we need to lean hard on people who know us best, love us most, and will tell us the truth when we're wrong. So I think accountability is a lot and is much needed for Christian dating, no matter what age.
Amen. Anybody else? Thank you. Now, Apostle was sharing. Let's make it relevant to today. So what do we do? What do we... Go ahead.
Please go on a date. Not you. Kevin calls you if you're a woman and Kim if you're a man on the line. And invites you to dinner. Prophetic words that your Ruth is coming or your Boaz.
Well, I would say as an older person, not necessarily that I would go on date, but if, you know, people my age date, and someone were to call and ask me if I wanted to do that, I think my answer would be more like, yeah, why don't we get a group of people to go to the show together or go out to dinner together? You know, something.
Maybe that I'm interested in going with you, but you can invite.
Then that's fine. I would feel it would be more honest of me to go with you and a group of people than because I wouldn't go with you, you know, just you and I alone. That is a situation that would not be something I would feel comfortable in. And I just think that it would be a better fellowship if other people came. You know, so, I mean, there's a way I think that if we go, because, you know, it happens to you tomorrow. You know, Pastor Marnette said not her because she married. So obviously she got a good reason to say no. But Apostle, if someone asks you.
What, would I go eat?
Yes, if you would go out on a date and eat.
I wouldn't go on a date. I would go eat depending on the restaurant.
So if a gentleman called and say, Alfalfa, I would like to invite you to dinner. Okay, so
and
there you have it. Apostle said, take that man if he takes
no
right
didn't.
Place.
No, I didn't.
No, you said go
I
on,
did
go
not
out
say
with
I
him.
I am here stated. So, no, I would not encourage it.
Okay.
No, I would not expect any leader to do it. No.
So, if you
no.
go to that fancy restaurant with that man, what is that? Is that not a date? So, then maybe the question is, what is a date? Now, Pastor Marnette is saying, it's a
koinonia.
It's a fellowship. Okay. And we join in, jump right in there. What's the date? What will constitute a date?
The difference between dating and courtship, you know?
I would think those two are more the same. You know, date kind of lead to courting. Okay, I know. Okay.
No.
So we have different terms that need to be identified. So how do we identify in today's culture? So courting or dating, going out to dinner, hooking up. So what is acceptable and what isn't, and what does it look like?
I read something. I don't remember where it originated from, but it talked about the millennials and then a generation after them. The younger generation after millennial disease, okay, and how they're not dating in the traditional way that we see dating. They do go out in groups. So when they go out, it is multiple people going out, but with a little different focus. it looks more like, oh, let's go out, and it's 10 of us, and let's see who we like out of this 10 of us, and we can hook up with this 10 of us. So I think when you said over to defining dating and making it relevant to what's going on now in society is very good, because most people say, no, they don't date. That a lot of people say, of those generations, based on what we read, said that they don't date, but they do this group thing, and it's not that they're all engaging in intimacy all together like an orgy, but it's more, oh, okay, so, yeah, this was nice, and I want to see you, on a more individual basis. But then you go out with another group of people, and you get your picks from them. And so for them, it's these little spurts of relationships, if you could call them, where people would join an interest that leads from anywhere to just a meal or coffee to, a brief spurt of intimacy, so we don't see you anymore. When we made an older generation to consider it a one-night stand, that is their regular process. They don't call, I said all that said, that they said that they don't call it dating anymore. It's just these guys where they all go out together.
And then is it a date if he pay and I don't? Or is it a date? Is it not a date if everybody pay for their own? So how do we define dating? I know it's interesting because just like with any other topic we talked about, the element, that's right, say it louder, Pastor.
It's the heart behind the motive or the heart,
exactly.
The intention behind.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if I'm randomly going out with all these people so I can get all this affirmation and feel loved and appreciated and accepted no matter who dates, just depending on where you are, you understand your process, then, it's what am I looking for? Well, why entertain X if God already said he has B prepared for me, and I should be in preparation for him, not by getting these other experiences with all these other randoms.
Okay.
Right.
Absolutely. The motive.
I definitely think, just with the comment that Pastor Marlette made, that I am very out of touch. because when he was saying what is dating? You know, my mindset was, you know, a person asks you out, you go out, you have dinner, or you talk, you get to know each other, you know, find out what your likes, your dislikes are, or whatever, and then you leave and you go home, and that was it. And if it, you know, progressed to something else, you've been on another quote-unquote date, and you tried to feel to see where the progression of it was going to go. There wasn't any intimacy involved, you know, until further down the line or something, but that was dating back in my day. And now, like she said, it's a whole different, mindset. I don't think that's mindset is that. So what I remember as dating, and then with what she was, her input being, here you have these group of young people going out, of 10 of them, everybody's trying to see who clicks with whom, and then you make a decision from there, you know, who you click with. And then we're going to go into the whole dating online where you know, pick somebody online and you decide, it's a whole nother elephant.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're right.
Dating.
So, dating is defined, when you Google it, it says dating is a stage of romantic relationship in humans whereby two or more people meet socially with the aim of assessing each other's suitability as a prospective partner in an intimate relationship or marriage. This is a form of courtship. This form of courtship consists of social activities done by couples, groups, or with others that lead to intimate relationships.
Courtship. When I was looking at courtship, they were saying take the position that the two people have no physical contact at all, no touching, no hand-holding, no kissing until marriage. But with the dating was what Pastor Marlette said. So,
wow.
That's confusing.
That's interesting. And then I think then the question will become, okay, suppose this is just Mark for you. I know him, went to school, go to church, work together, whatever, and it's nothing sexual, friendship. And as a friend, we hang out at the movies, or we hang out, you know, I got to eat, he got to eat, and everybody go, you know. And like I say, so it means as long as I pay for mine and you pay for yours, we're separate. I know, I'm just saying, what element makes it, changes it from just two friends hanging out to it then being, we're assessing each other, again, you know,
the motive
or intent, but that may not be your motive originally. It may just be a friend, a person you like, they're funny or they're fun. And then after so much association, then it morphs into, oh, I have feelings now. So then you stop the association. You see, so it gets saying, you know, when you look at all of the possibilities, and so, you know, these are going to be the responses that the young people have for us when we give them this stuff. You know, and they may say, well, that ain't what I'm doing. We just was going bowling. Okay? Well, while you were going bowling and somebody was throwing the ball and switching up there and you decided, wow, I really like her, or you're a girl and you say, wow, I really like him, you know, so then when it changes as this assessing each other, maybe that not wasn't your intention when you went, was just to go to have fun, and then something else develops. And how do they address that?
I have a very good male friend that we, at one point of our relationship, hung out every weekend and a lot of times during the week. and it I would pay sometimes, and he would pay sometimes, and we would pay for ours individually. It didn't.
No, I can't help that.
I'm sorry. But that's even the relationship was fine. It was never awkward until someone tried to plant a seed. So, you know, a verbal seed, you know, like say something about the relationship. And then it became weird once someone did it. And then you then begin to look at, and it did shift things. Unfortunately, like, oh, no, 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 that's not what this is. And you didn't want the other person to perceive it that way. But for years, we hung out. We went out of town. I mean, we did a lot of things together. And there was never any underlying relationship other than a love for music, gospel music, and friendship.
Okay. Well, I mean, and that's an excellent example.
I mean, it didn't. And if you ask either one of us, you know, then it was never. Or now it was never an issue. And so I think it depends on how it looks. And then the other thing, I think, because we tell children that or people that they shouldn't do it. So because we don't give them the healthy or the appropriate or the biblical way of doing it, then it becomes what starts to happen in secret.
Yeah.
That's when we start sneaking around. I think like Apostle Casey said, you didn't let them in the front.
Right.
You know, people said you didn't want them to come through the back door because we're not shown or it doesn't feel acceptable, even if you're in the church, you know, to date appropriately or to interact with the opposite sex appropriately without it looking like it's trying to lead into some type of relationship.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Anybody else? I'm reminded, as Pastor Barnett was speaking, that, you know, we do have friendships that are with opposite sex. And they are, as they used to call, I don't know if they still call them now, platonic. But they have nothing to do with sex, okay? And yet they're just friendships that you have with an individual. And again, that's where peer pressure does come. You know, people will whisper. I've had times when they've asked me, you know, is that, you know, that's your, well, you know, what they used to call them, different things. But I wasn't no kid then. I had grown children, you know, and they wanted to know if that was a relationship that they should stay away from that person because of me. And it's like, no, you know, and so people do that, and they do have a hard time believing when you say, no, you know, it's nothing between us, we're just friends. Most people don't accept that. They don't accept that, and so that does sometimes damage a relationship and a friendship. So this is all bringing out issues without resolution, except for the fact, you know, that, you know, we need to teach we need to learn our worth and our value through our Creator, and that should be what we treasure, and that's what should be what we build our life on. And then no matter what people say about no matter what it is you're doing, if God is pleased with it, then you can be satisfied that what you're doing will honor Him. And that is one of the heart conditions, to have the heart to bring glory to God. Does this relationship bring glory to God? And sometimes it even tells us. I remember long ago my dad used to say, even if it appears to be evil for someone else, that you should resist it. You know, resist the very appearance of evil. And so, because the heart is deceitful among all things, and it is so simple and easy for us to be deceived into thinking it's nothing when it is something, and then it ends up being a place where God is really dishonored in our living. Interesting dialogue. This is our last evening, Wednesday in January. In January, Wednesdays were to be the Let's Chat Over Coffee on Kingdom Culture. And so we will have a summary, really, from those that have shared in this process of what has been brought to the table to address some of the kingdom culture challenges. Anybody? 6397. What through these coming together, this chatting over coffee for kingdom culture, what have we gleaned as a church? As a kingdom, should be motivating our momentum going forward. Whether it's abortion, what we wear at church, what were some of the other ones?
The tattoos,
oh,
and that piercing, the cutting of your hair,
hair,
what you eat, kind of saying from that whole tattoo piercing class, which is what really impacts. Not to say, oh, I'm giving up pork or I'm never cutting my hair. That's not what I'm saying. But definitely forgetting, if I could say forgetting, you know, of some very simple things that are an offense to God. You know, so being very mindful that those obvious sins, you know, the love directives, those 10 that we kind of live by, and omitting that 990 that, you know, there aren't always 1,040, so whatever that is, 1,030, whatever. I'm forgetting those things. 1,050,
and you do 10.
Thank you, Overseer.
No problem. I'm going to
So being mindful, for me being very sensitive, to really in all my ways acknowledge him, and he would direct my path, and then looking at the heart, my motives or my intention behind things. Relationship talk, I know we're talking about Christian dating, but for me, all relationships. So what's the motive behind my pursuit in any relationship, be it professional or personal or in whichever way, a spiritual relationship?
Amen. I can't get that.
Because we all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, because when they did the thing on tattooing and all that, when they mentioned about pierced earring and all that, it was like, okay, you might have not put the tattoo on, but you got your ears pierced. So looking at things and being open differently, that, you know, you can't judge just because of something else, you know, because and even if you don't agree with it, biblically explaining it, but not in a harsh way.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else? (6397) 0223. 8834-4864. I'm calling names, but I'm calling numbers. What is your take? What do you think? What impacted you? You've taken the time out on Wednesdays either to come out or to tune in, and you've heard the dialogue. You've heard the scripture support for the dialogue. What do you take away from this time in January, sitting around the table talking about kingdom culture? What has impacted you? And it's okay to say nothing. No, I don't mean to say nothing, but to say the word nothing.
Okay.
I think the first class that Phil did, Pastor Phil, in regards to sexuality and the different laws and stuff, getting more understanding, more knowledge on what's the courts and different things might be in the future, that was very interesting.
Amen. And I think I'm with you. I think the thing that has impacted me the most was hearing the perspectives of some of our young people. And just like some of the things that Pastor Marla shared, Evangelist Dana shared, the young people share a perspective sometimes that just, you know, like Pastor KP said, oh, wow, I'm really, you know, out of touch with that. And so there is a whole culture out there that people that are going to come through the doors of Laborers for Christ, no matter how old they are going to be experiencing things that we may not have experienced and experiencing them in ways that we may not have experienced them. And so what impressed upon me was a greater need to hear time we come into the interaction with anybody, whether someone preaching, with or without pants, it just doesn't matter. It is so important to first defer to Holy Spirit as to what should my emotional response be and then my spiritual response. Because once we respond emotionally, we either negated a holy spiritual response or the response that we do have is carnal and really not based on much of anything. And that, as a result, is a sin before God, that no man judge another man, master servant. It's not my job to do that. My job is to be in line and in harmony with what Holy Spirit would have me do. And that's something that causes us to be less judgmental, less condemning, to be more accepting, having an accepting heart, and a patient heart, and a tame heart. Those are the ones that I have to focus on. So that's what it does for me. Anybody else? So we will let Apostle close us out, bring any direction that we need for the month of February.
Hey, Jack, thank you all for participating and being a part. We have enjoyed this interaction. And so as we prepare for the February agenda, that information will be forthcoming. Again, thank you. And so as we prepare for prayer, Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us the direction that you would have us to go in. For, as they have said, your love direction that actually points to the pathway by which we should live our life. And so we are in need of that, and we purpose to live our life according to the love that actually has released the commandment. And Father, if we could learn to receive your love, be recipients of your love, and then be transmitters of your love, eternal impact that we will have. And so thank you for loving us completely and wholly. And we pray that as we grow in love, our love won't have holes in it, and our love will cover as your love has healed us. In Jesus' name,
Amen. 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 And amen. And so, amen. Just for clarity.
And.
Amen. So stay warm and enjoy winter.